really be careful of the people you're worshiping and idolizing, because I'll tell you right now, like, I come from the Hollywood industry, and a lot of that stuff is satanic. Like, a lot of these people are doing satanic worship. I have seen it in front of my own eyes. So be careful what celebrities you're, you know, really following and, you know, just excited after musicians, because a lot of these people have sold their souls to the devil. I don't say that to be like, you know, oh, like, but no, it's a real thing. Like I said, I've seen it. It was in the scene, right? And I would even see that stuff before I was saved, and I would just be like, oh, whatever, the devil's not real. Like, that stuff's probably just whatever. But no, now that I think about it and, like, I am saved, I'm like, whoa, I actually saw some crazy stuff.
Quote from a Rolling Stones interview that you gave at the time saying, I believe very strongly in fascism. We need a dictatorial right-wing tyranny. What was that about?
I think that was probably a bit coke-driven.
Yeah.
It was also part of... I fell into the trap of the black magic, Kabbalism, and the whole idea of the... just the Crowleyism of, you know, the times. It was a significant part of that middle point of the 70s, and I really got completely disoriented by all that. It was an awful, dreadful period for me.
When Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow was recording its Long Live Rock and Roll album, it was supposedly said the band unintentionally summoned an evil spirit that caused havoc in the studio and even tried to kill Ronnie James Dio's wife, Wendy. Many years later, Ronnie revealed that he was always a practitioner of white magic, and he wasn't interested in black magic, which is very dangerous. So yes, snow magic was actually very popular among rock stars in the 70s. But Dio himself claimed he never took any drugs, though. According to Ritchie Blackmore, while Long Live Rock and Roll was being recorded at the Chateau in France, which is a 17th century castle about 20 miles outside of Paris, converted into a recording studio, the sessions were supposedly haunted by a malevolent spirit. Blackmore, long interested in psychic phenomena, claimed that the servant of the 5,000-year-old Babylonian demon Baal, the first lord of hell, plagued them with unplugged mics, tape machines that turned off and on seemingly by themselves, and lights that switched on and off. Tony Carey, who was Rainbow's keyboardist at the time, confessed that when he was living with Rainbow at the Chateau in France, Richie and Cozy didn't just tease him, but it was pranks in the guise of Satanism. Tony revealed, we had these seances and the 12 stations of the cross were around the room, black magic stuff. And then someone, either Cozy or Richie, stood outside my room and lit tarot cards on fire and slipped them under my door, and I thought the whole place was going to burn down. After all those pranks, Carey ended up being scared and left Rainbow. When hard rock guitar legend Ritchie Blackmore was asked whether he practiced black magic, Ritchie replied, I'm not into black magic. I'm an observer of it, and I'm very interested in psychic phenomena. I do a lot of seances and communicating with the other side, but I really like to find out from other people all their experiences about things like ghosts and spirits.
I have met people who claimed to be Satanists, who claimed to be involved with black magic, who claimed that they not only knew a lot about it, but as I said, I've certainly never been involved, and I warn all of you, never, never, never. You will not only lose your mind, you lose your soul.
Called High Magic, which is, I think that's what it's called. It's a fantastic book on, magic is really the wrong word for it. There's an entire mythos or religion that got sort of wiped out by, Terrence McKenna talks about it a lot. It got kind of wiped out by, superstition. So witchcraft, as we understand it now because of Hollywood, is like, you know, ladies riding around on brooms and shit, but it just used to be midwifery. It used to be like healing women who would like deliver babies and stuff. But these were all connected to, they're all at pagan roots. And so essentially you can follow back this branch of data that some people say started in Sumeria or Egypt, ways of meditating, ways of connecting with the universe that are ritualistic in nature, but seem mysterious to us, because even though, like, if you want to see what it looks like, just look at a Catholic mass. You're looking at a ceremony. It's theurgy, I guess you'd call it. That is a magical ceremony where bread gets converted into the flesh of a god that you eat. So that's they're all wearing robes, they're burning incense. So that is magic. That's what ceremonial magic looks like. It's non-different from ceremonial magic. Someone in the Catholic Church might tell you, this isn't magic. This is me praying to the infinite and asking for forgiveness. That's magic. You're connecting with a divine intelligence. You're hoping from your connection with the divine intelligence to produce some change in your own psychology, in your own life, and maybe create good fortune or whatever it is you're praying for, healing, whatever it may be. That's magic. So magic is that, and that it's, I'm not saying the Catholicism wouldn't necessarily be considered a branch of magic, but I mean, one of the things he said in this interview is, like, if the Bible is one of the most powerful magical grimoires there is, I mean, you read that shit, if you really look in it, there's all kinds of bizarre stuff that doesn't seem to make it onto Christian radio.
Like what?
Well, like when in the book of Genesis, it's, why are they saying, why do they refer to themselves as a plurality? When God's talking, it's not like, if, when they're saying, like, why do we throw Adam and Eve out of the garden? It's we. If we don't do something about this, they will become like us. We. There's a plurality that's being mentioned there.
All right. Peace, y'all. Peace. So in this video, I'm going to basically be breaking down the connection between Aleister Crowley and the music business, all right? Pretty much why is he so influential in the music business, all right? And now, I'm not going to glorify this guy, all right, because in my personal opinion, you know, he is a piece of shit, all right? But he existed as well, too. So, you know, I respect the dead, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to be too disrespectful, but I want to pinpoint a few things about his history and the influence that he may have had and why people tend to glorify this guy, all right? So, Aleister Crowley was born October 12th, 1875, all right? His parents were both really religious, okay? His father was a preacher of the cult, the Plymouth Brethren, all right? Now, the reason why I call this group here a cult is because of the simple fact of how they would tell you to stay away from your family and society in the whole. And in my opinion, if you belong to a group of individuals that keep you away from family and society, that's pretty much a cult in itself, all right? But during this period, you know what I'm saying, as a young kid, you know, he studied the Bible every day. So, you know, it was a Christian group, you know what I'm saying? They practiced the Christianity aspect of things, but Aleister Crowley, you know, he studied the Bible front to back, all right? But at the age of 16 is when he started to rebel and question the religion he was a part of, all right? He felt that it kind of like robbed him of his childhood, all right? So he started acting out and doing all these things, and that's when his moms actually gave him the name The Beast, okay? From the book of Revelations, all right? So it had nothing to do with him being vile or being a vile person. He adapted that name from his mom calling him The Beast, and he basically had to live up to that name, all right? So he did a lot of satanic things to basically smite her, you know what I'm saying? Things that took place in the Bible, you know, that was basically forbidden, you know, he participated in, all right? Now, he spent majority of his adulthood trying to conjure up demons, all right, to be the best magician he could be, all right? So when people don't understand about Aleister Crowley is that he was a well-renowned magician, okay? Like, he did a lot of spiritual things to elevate himself. Now, this is what I be saying about practicing magic and black magic and things of that nature, right? See, when there's levels to it, okay? So if you're going to be a magician or a warlock or all of these things, or a wizard, whatever you want to call yourself, or a witch, whatever, you know, some of these people from, you know, previous decades ago, they would involve themselves in certain rituals. Okay, rituals that would possibly involve children, animals, all kinds of things to, like I said, gravitate towards that energy. Certain demons require you to fornicate with animals and do all of these other things, right? So this is why we hear of certain hazing rituals that take place in fraternal orders, all right? So He basically, you know, spent a lot of time trying to, you know, adapt that lifestyle and, you know, be the best magician he could be. You know what I'm saying? He believed in the spiritual realm more than anything. All right. So now, while he was in class, he actually was a closeted, but he was actually interested in the same sex as well, okay? He had a relationship with his classmates, Herbert Jerome Pollitt, okay? You know, he was like lusting after this guy. Meanwhile, he was married, but he was lusting after this guy, all right? And they had a short little relationship going on, all right? So him and his wife, they actually took a trip to Cairo, Egypt, right, to conjure up the Egyptian god Horus. Now, this is where a lot of these, you know, a lot of this stuff, this practice stuff that goes on. I'm going to get to that, too. But he tried to conjure up the Egyptian god Horus and couldn't do so, all right, only because, you know, his wife was able to connect with that spirit, but he wasn't, all right? So they actually went over to Egypt to basically gravitate towards that energy, all right? Around this time is when he joined the group, the Golden Dawn, all right, where he was taught the Book of Thelema, all right? He was taught the Law of Thelema, all right, which was ran by Madame Blavatsky, all right? Now, this was another woman that came up with the whole concept of do what thou will. All right, which is a occultic belief of we all have free will. All right, so it's the same sense of free will. Do what thou will, and free will is the same thing, right? It's the same thing, just a different group sector. As he joined the Golden Dawn, they taught him more about the occult, all right, and allowed him to become more involved in magic, all right? Around this time, he also joined Freemasonry. He was a spy for the CIA and all of these other things, right? But when he gained this power as a magician, he actually was allowed to create his own sector, okay, and his own cult, all right? The Abbey of Thelema, which was his cult that he belonged to, okay? Now, this cult, they would basically take. This is where that whole concept of a lot of things where they would say psychedelics and things of that nature. They would have G's, okay? They would have little children running around naked. I'm sure that they would do perverted things with. But at this time, Aleister Crowley wrote a lot of these books, okay? These were spirits that were talking through him to write these books. Okay, so now by him doing this and starting the OTO, this actually gave him more strength in numbers. Now, Aleister Crowley is not that popular in today's pop culture, okay? But he was very popular, all right, in the 50s and 60s, okay? I truly believe that he became influential because of the things he practiced, because of the cults that he belonged to. People were amazed at how evil this guy was and how vindictive he was, okay? He had tapped into so many spirits, okay? These spirits were running rampant throughout his body, all right? Now, fast forward up until today, right? Some people say, well, what is the relevancy of Aleister Crowley? Why is he always mentioned, okay? Because a lot of this New Age belief system, all right, that we follow and live committed by, okay, like I told you guys, a lot of this stuff comes from Aleister Crowley, okay? Tarot cards and all of these things, magic, witchcraft, all of these things, these Kemetic belief systems, worshiping Horus and these Egyptian gods, all of these things come from the concept of Aleister Crowley. You know, a lot of people were unaware of these type of things before he came into play and brought this over, okay, to England. All right, now when he went to Egypt, he realized that these people were actually out there practicing magic and worshiping these Egyptian gods. Okay, and he took that concept on and brought it to his hometown and, you know, saw that people were actually benefiting from this, okay? Now, why is he praised in pop culture? For one specific reason, okay? A lot of these entertainers believe that doing certain things such as conjuring up a person that has been dead or deceased for a long period of time, okay, they feel as if these people can give them answers. They communicate with the dead, all right?
What is this?
That is Marilyn's hair. So.
Oh my God, I'm literally going to do some crazy voodoo that I want to wait. And I channel her. This incredible. Is so special so lovely to me. You. Thank you so much. This is so cool. So cool.
Good vibes.
Wow. This is sleeping with me every night. Sorry, babe.
All right, so you seen there, Kim Kardashian basically said that, you know, she had a piece of Marilyn Monroe's hair and was going to do voodoo with it. Now, when we see these type of things, you know what I'm saying? We all know, okay, that this stuff exists. We all know that this stuff exists, okay? And it's not to be tampered with. So when you tapping into the energy of Aleister Crowley, okay, of course you're going to come up with certain things. He's heavily used in music because he is the closest thing to Satan there is, all right? So in order for, I wouldn't consider him to be a demon, but he is a spirit god for a lot of these entertainers, okay? And, you know, most of them, they go and reach out to this guy, you know, saying, and they come up with ideas for songs. Like I said, he's not heavily praised in today's culture. A lot of these young kids don't know who he is, all right? But if we take a look at how influential they have been to the rap game and so on and so forth, we know that it's not far-fetched from there, all right? So, like I said, I don't want you guys to go out there and and focus on any of this stuff, all right? But please be careful and take into consideration that this stuff is very dangerous, all right? So with that being said, I hope that answers your question. Yeah, man. I hope everybody has a blessed week and stay safe. Peace.